Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Let's talk a little racing. That's because there are going to be races this weekend. NASCAR is back at Darlington this weekend on Fox, and it's going to be a big moment for NASCAR. I wanted to talk about it, and Herbie and I were like, we don't talk a lot of NASCAR. Who should we talk to? And I'm sitting there last night, and I was like, I think I remember that Jim Sonnis was a big NASCAR guy. And usually when we talk to Jim Sonnis at Number Fire, like, we talk to him about fantasy football and all sorts of other stuff. And then I hit him up, and I was like, aren't you a NASCAR guy? And he's like, yeah. So he's joining me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. You should go check them out in Melrose Park. I'm so excited to have my friend Jim Sonnis on the show. You can check out his work at Number Fire, and he covers a little bit of everything. Plus, he's a guy that graduated from the Medill School, so we won't hold that against him. We will just still have him on the show. Jim, what's up, man?
I'm all good, Lawrence. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, and I'm glad that you were available so you can walk us through some of this. I have a lot of questions about NASCAR returning. How important is it for NASCAR to get itself back on the track?
Yeah, I think it seems like it's been a priority for them, and I think the one advantage that they have is that it is a sport where you can social distance pretty effectively. Now, the pit crews, that's tough, but they're doing a lot to try to keep the pit crews away from other pit crews. So, like, if there were to be an illness within one of the pit crew members, ideally they could isolate that to be just the team. They're also isolating the drivers away from their own crews. So, essentially, the drivers will not come in contact with anybody at the track. So it seems like they're taking the proper measures. I don't know if there is a way to take the actual proper, you know, methods here if you are actually racing, but it seems like they are trying to be aware of it, trying to take every measure they can. And I mean, it's going to be 5 Cup Series races in 15 days. So there's going to be a lot of NASCAR to consume. So if you're trying to get into it, now's the time to do so.
What was the impact, do you think, from the eNASCAR success? Because they were getting, you know, 1 million views per race.
Yeah, they were. And I think if you look at all esports broadcasts in, like, television history, I think they had 6 of the top 7 slots from a rating perspective. So it performed really well. I think the advantage that they had was they had actual drivers doing that. And you have the marketability of all those drivers. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was racing. Jeff Gordon came back for a couple of races. And those are names that we haven't gotten to see race in quite some time. So I think that they were able to keep the sport relevant in that time and now trying to build on that momentum. And I mean, we've seen UFC try to do this too, trying to take advantage in areas where their sports have advantages, where they are, you know, a little more isolated and get themselves into this. And you can question if they should be out there. And I think that's a very fair question to ask, but I mean, I think from NASCAR's point of view, I see why they're trying so hard to get out there on the track and take advantage of that momentum they've built with the iRacing when there's nothing else on.
I look at a NASCAR race occasionally. I don't really know a ton about it. But I look at that overall and go, that's a sport that doesn't necessarily need people in the crowd to succeed. Now, I'm sure that the folks at the track would be like, well, wait a damn minute. Like, we want people to come through those doors. Can it survive with just their television contract, or is there going to have to be a fan component if it's going to survive all of this?
I think that's a really good question. It's a question that NASCAR has been grappling with for a long time now, because the attendance, like, we saw ratings fall off for NASCAR over the past couple of years, but before that, attendance was dropping because I think the 2008 recession had a really big impact. Because when you think about traveling to a NASCAR race, like, you have to pay to travel because there's no quote-unquote home team for you necessarily for NASCAR. So you have to pay to travel, pay for the hotel, pay for the actual tickets. So when the recession hit, it had a pretty big impact on NASCAR. So they've kind of been grappling with this question for a while now of how much they can do without actually having fans in the stands. But I think with the TV contracts being what they are, and I think the TV contracts are a major motivator in getting these races in and making sure they still have 36 races this year, they at least have like a floor where they can get by if there are no fans. The other big thing that I think is helpful for NASCAR is that NASCAR, the sanctioning body, owns a good number of the tracks. So ideally, the actual money flow that they're getting will be able to allow them to have those races at tracks, so the tracks themselves won't go under because they're partly being propped up by the sport as a whole.
Jim Sonnis of Number Fire joining me here as we talk about NASCAR. There's going to be a race at Darlington on Sunday. What happened over the last 5 years with NASCAR? What was it, just the people trying to get themselves out of the recession, or is there something bigger at play here that NASCAR still hasn't figured out?
There were a lot of things. I think the recession was like the first thing, and that's what led to the downtick in attendance of the actual tracks. But then after that, so you had the drop in attendance because of that, but then you started to see the biggest name drivers all retire in a span of a couple of years. Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. all retired in a couple of years span. And when you are a sport that's driven by superstars, you have two of your most popular drivers all drop out at the same time, that's going to lead to some really tough ratings. So I think it was just kind of bad timing where things piled up on another. It's also obviously a sport that has sort of an older fan base, kind of similar to baseball. We're going to have some issues there inherently as well. So a combination of issues, the recession leading to one thing, a retirement of really popular drivers, and those two issues just kind of compounding to lead to one really big issue.
Do you think that we're going to see a change in the track agreements coming up next year? Because I know that there are some people that are looking at 2021 is kind of a reboot year for NASCAR overall.
Yeah, it very much is. And as a fan, I find that super exciting because they've been going to a lot of these tracks for a very long time. And there was like this model in the early 2000s where they wanted to expand. They wanted to get to new areas, like going out west, in order to gain all these new fans who are watching their races. And in doing so, they added a lot of kind of like boring cookie cutter tracks. But like you mentioned, they get out of those agreements for 2021. It gives them flexibility to maybe add another road course to the schedule. Road courses are some of the most exciting races they have the entire year. Maybe add another short track. And I think if you're trying to generate interest in the sport and get fans who had left the sport back, that's the way to do so, is get some exciting races at fun tracks, short tracks, some road courses in there too. I also think that the schedule that they have due to COVID-19 is interesting because there's been a lot of talk for a long time about adding midweek races. And in order to get these races this whole season in, they are adding midweek races. So they're going to have a Wednesday race. And I would bet they're probably going to do pretty well from a ratings perspective. So it's not just the addition of new exciting tracks to the schedule for next year, but also I'm hoping some midweek races too. And they can see how, test run it here, see how it goes. But I think that there's a lot of opportunity to change things and mold things the way they want to be it. And as a fan who wants to see good races, I think that's a pretty exciting proposition.
All right, so I'm a NASCAR newbie. I'm going to tune in on Sunday. What do I need to watch? Who would you suggest that I choose to follow in this race?
I think an interesting guy to follow is Ryan Blaney. And the reason that I would pinpoint Ryan Blaney as someone to follow if you're new to the sport is that NASCAR had this really big youth infusion a couple years ago. Like, when big name drivers step out, it opens the door for younger drivers to step in. And Ryan Blaney was one of the guys in that younger wave, along with Chase Elliott. And both Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney were awesome in the first four races this year before the layoff due to COVID-19. Ryan Blaney had a chance to win each of the first three races. Chase Elliott's the only driver who has won more than one stage so far this year, and he's actually won three. So both those guys performed really well. Now, the reason I think that Blaney is super interesting for Darlington specifically is because he's been pretty bad at this track early on in his career. But it's a small sample we're dealing with here. I love numbers. And the sample on Blaney at Daunton is pretty small. He was good at a track with heavy tire wear in Fontana earlier this year. He was really good in Las Vegas, which is another intermediate track. So I think that if you want to have some sort of rooting interest, that could parlay into something longer term. I check out the younger guys, especially Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney, because A, they're good, B, they're fun to watch, and C, they've been running really well this year, and I think could be legitimate contenders, not just this weekend, but also for a long time in the future, too.
Jim, I appreciate your time, man. Thanks for the education. I'm going to check out the race. I'm going to stick with it. Kyle Long, like, hit me up on Twitter, is like, you need to check it out. So I am going to check it out, and I'll have some sort of review, very novice noob review for everyone on Monday's show.
Yeah, Kyle Long making the most of retirement with the iRace. That's been fun to watch too, for sure as well. Thanks, Lawrence. I appreciate it. Hopefully you enjoy the race, and hopefully we can get you hooked beyond that too.
All right, good. Well, then we'll talk again about this for sure. Thanks for having a few minutes for us.
Absolutely. Thank you as well. Appreciate it.
That is Jim Saunders from Number Fire. Great stuff on NASCAR. I'm going to check the race out on Sunday afternoon. McNeil and Parkins going to have a great guest, a big guest coming up on their show. I'll tell you about that next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.